Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the 56th week of our look at the book of Genesis as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
It's interesting. Age of 30 has a place of prominence in the Bible. David, King David, he was 30 years old when he became king. 2 Samuel 5:4. Even though he was anointed as a youth, remember Samuel coming and anointing him in the house of Jesse and all as a young lad, it wasn't until he reached the age of 30 that he actually became king. Well, in Numbers chapter number 4, 46 and 47, we see that at 30 years of age was where you were allowed to enter the Levitical priesthood. In other words, when you're able to enter, you're in that household, but you couldn't take the role of a priest until you reached the age of 30. Why was that? Well, it's because they looked at you as then at the age of 30, that you're responsible, that you're mature, and that you finally come of age at the age of 30 in the Jewish mind. I think that's a lot true today. As young men, they had the frivolity of youth, and there's always exceptions to this. But by the time they reach an age of 30, they've matured. They've seen some things in life. Perhaps they've been married. They've had children. And their judgment is a lot better and a lot clearer than it would be for, let me use a young buck, you know, who's full of vim and vigor, and his judgment is maybe clouded by his emotions or whatever. And so at the age of 30, that's when they were allowed in the Levitical priesthood. And there's another individual who entered into public ministry at the age of 30. Who was that? Jesus entered into, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 3, verse number 23, that he was about age of 30 when he went to John the Baptist. He came out of the wilderness, and John the Baptist baptized him, and that's when he began his public ministry. Of course, he was in that Jewish realm, so they looked at entering that priesthood, so to speak. So people looked at him in the age of 30. He was well-respected and known, so he was able to, people would look at him, he was able to make necessary decisions in his life. Let me go a little bit farther in this, and my study again took me a little bit farther with this about the age of 30. You ever heard of a fellow by the name of Saul of Tarsus? Okay. Saul of Tarsus was a member of the Sanhedrin. Again, I researched this again this week and did some more studying just to check this out, make sure that everything was clear and is well documented and validated from different men of the pages, ages and sages of the past. Where to be in the Sanhedrin, you had two things that had to take place. Number one, you had to be married. You have to be married. Number two, you have to have children. Why is that so important? And you couldn't be a young man. Again, we're talking about the age of 30. Paul was a member of the Sanhedrin. He talked about that, about him passing judgment. Remember Stephen and all of that. So what does that tell us when he says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, "For do you remain unmarried as I am?" What he's talking about is he never remarried. He was unmarried. He didn't say that he had never been married. He said, remain unmarried. Are y'all following what I am? What happened, now the Bible does not speak of this instance, but we do know when he went on the road to Damascus and he got saved, that we read in Philippians that he lost everything. Matter of fact, he said, I count it all but dung that I may win Christ. He lost his friends. He lost his family. He lost his finances when he went from Judaism to being a Christian. Well, everybody deserted him on that side, even his family. And that's why he could empathize when you read through in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7 about the marriage, divorce, and remarriage. He knew what these people were struggling with. Because he was married, he had children, but when he became a follower of Christ, they wrote him off. They still do that today, by the way. Whether it's in the Jewish economy or the Muslims or Buddhists, whoever, Danny could tell you this. I remember a story Danny mentioned when he was in Thailand years ago. Had a house full of people, Buddhists that were converted to Christianity. Well, somebody got up in the middle of the service, and of course, if I'm wrong, you let Danny correct me later, but this story, if I remember right, that basically the whole church emptied because they were under persecution. They had went from Buddhism to Christianity because of persecution from families and work. They all left except one little girl. Is that right, Danny? The whole church left except one little girl because of persecution. So I'm just saying all that goes on even today. Buddhism, Judaism, Muslim, that happened to Paul. His wife, his children, his family left him. So, but we see that he entered into the ministry, and he was at least the age of 30. That's a whole other line there. But in verse number 1, let me get moving. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended the Lord, their Lord, the king of Egypt, speaking of Pharaoh. Verse 2, and Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of his butlers, and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, where the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in a ward. So he's cast into this prison. He's with the butler. Joseph is the butler, and the baker is cast into prison. And by the way, when we look at the title of the word butler, it means he was in charge of Pharaoh's vineyard, his wine cellar, and his personal cupbearer. As we find later in this story, he was his kind. You know how you see where before a king or a pharaoh or somebody in authority would drink, the cupbearer would drink it first to make sure that it wasn't poisoned, you know, and they'd watch if he didn't fall over dead. Okay, I guess it's good, you know. Anyway, that was he was in charge of that. Not just the cupbearer, he was in charge of the vineyard where they grew the grapes for the wine, and he made the wine, made it to be the finest wine. That's what he did, okay? He was right next to the king. And then there was the baker, and the baker was in charge of Pharaoh's kitchen and food, and don't you know that was important? So two things that these men were in charge of, the food and the drink, and what an opportunity for somebody to, if I could use the word, assassinate the president, the pharaoh, the king, by eating something or drinking something. And obviously we're going to find out through the story that that's what happened. That something happened, and they found out there was a plot against Pharaoh, and they were going to determine, well, was it the food or was it the drink? So he threw both of these guys who was in charge of this into the prison. Interesting. They had offended the king, and that was the reason they couldn't. Even though the Bible doesn't say exactly, somehow they were involved in probably trying to take the life of Pharaoh. Now, it's interesting. Verse number 2, they said they were officers. And we looked at that last week about Potiphar, where he was an officer. Again, we mentioned that any of these officers were made eunuchs who were in high places in the king's cabinet, if you will. Why were they made eunuchs? Well, they were made eunuchs so that they could focus all of their attention and loyalty to Pharaoh, and they wouldn't be trying to hobnob with the king's harem, you know, trying to slip in, you know, I won't go into all, but that's the purpose of it. He didn't worry about the officials fooling around with his property because he made them eunuchs. They were totally dedicated to Pharaoh. Well, it's interesting. In verses 3 and 4, we see the captain of the guard is in play here. Who's the captain of the guard? Potiphar. Isn't it interesting? We see Potiphar in Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. He's the captain of the guard. Okay, so Potiphar has placed Joseph already in prison. There's a keeper of the prison, but Potiphar's in charge of all of this. Are you following? So when they put the butler and the baker in prison, Potiphar tells Joseph, who he knows Joseph very well, obviously, he says, I want you to be in charge of these guys.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc.org to hear more lessons like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.